thankful for the folks who regularly give up their time and their talents and even their treasure to invest in our children's lives. We have a great team of children's ministry. We're going to talk about that again here in just a minute. Haggai, the book of Haggai. Let me give you a little bit of background. Children of Israel, under David and Solomon, God built them an incredible kingdom. David established peace and the borders of the nation. God gave David incredible wealth that he stored up so that his son could take that peace and that wealth and build an incredible temple that would be God's dwelling place on the earth. That would be the wonder of all of the earth. People from all over would come to see the temple that Solomon had built and the wisdom that God had given Solomon. And it was a beacon worldwide. Our God is great, and you should trust our God like we do. That was worldwide. The influence of God's presence in that temple. But because of the sin of God's people, and the sad thing is, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. God's dwelling place among men, the place where men could see God's glory, destroyed, ruined by sin. God's people were taken out of the promised land, carried into captivity by the Babylonians. Babylonians were defeated by the Persians. And now God has a Persian king, a man named Cyrus, write a decree that says, you know what, I think it'd be a good idea, supernaturally, that I'm going to send a few folks from the Jews to go back and, you know what, let them rebuild the temple. So God sends a group of his people, after 70 years away from the promised land, God sends a group of his people back to Jerusalem with the express purpose of rebuilding the temple. Man named Zerubbabel, who is a descendant of the last king of Judah. Man named Jehozadak, who is a descendant of the last high priest. Those two men lead a group of God's people back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to reestablish God's presence with his people on earth. The people that are around them, the people that have resettled, you know, when the Jews were taken captive, there was a group of people that were moved in, and they had been living there for 7 years, or 70 years. And so how do you think they looked at the idea of rebuilding the temple? They didn't like it very much. By the way, this struggle is still going on in Israel to this day. They didn't like the idea of rebuilding the temple. We've been here for 70 years. Who are you guys? And so they opposed them, made it very difficult for them, and the work on the temple stopped. The reason that God had sent his people back to Jerusalem was for the purpose of building the temple. But they had not been doing that. When Haggai comes on the scene, it had been 16 years since any work at all had been done on the temple. That's why they were there. They laid the foundation and then quit work. 16 years, the very thing God had given them to do, they had stopped doing. You know, you guys ever heard of a honey-do list? Y'all know what a honey-do list is, isn't it? Whether it's your wife that gives it to you or your husband that gives it to you, or you have a list of things to do. And sometimes you have a list of things to do. And that list, okay, man, you know what? I'm going to take care of that this weekend. And then something comes up, and then you look at the list again, and you say, you know what? I'm going to take care of that this coming weekend. And then something comes up, I'm going to get that next weekend. And here it is, it's been 6 weeks, and you haven't touched a thing on your list. And so you say to yourself, all of that stuff has got to be done. I just haven't had time to do it. And then somebody hears you thinking out loud and says to you, you know what? You had the same amount of time as everybody else had. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Everybody's got the same amount of time, right? It's not the fact that your list has not been accomplished is not that you haven't had the time. Everybody has the time. The reason that list has not gotten accomplished is because you prioritized other things over that list. You spent your time on other things. And that's a decision of priorities. How we use our time and what we use it for, it's really not a matter of how much time as it is of what's important to us. Haggai is a book about priorities. What is important?
Chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Here's what God said to his people through Haggai. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt.
Here's what's happening. The people had stopped work 16 years. They had done nothing on the very project that God had sent them back to the land to do. And so God says, tell these people, look, all you keep saying is that it's not time yet. Now, what do we call that? When you have a project to work on, and we say, oh, that's not time for that yet. I'll get to that tomorrow. What do we call? We have a word for that. What's that called? That's called procrastination. These folks had been procrastinating on the very thing God had given them to do for 16 years. And so God comes, and he says, hey, you guys, y'all have been just procrastinating, saying it's not time yet to do what I told you to do for 16 years. He keeps going.
Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate?
Ah, we're getting a little clearer picture now. The Lord is filling in some of the cracks. It's not just that these folks had been procrastinating. It's that they had been working on other things. What had they been working on? They had been working on building themselves houses. And the Lord brings up the point that the houses they had been building for themselves, these weren't just shanties. They weren't just putting up shacks for them to have some shelter. No, they were building their houses, and then they were adding in paneled walls, and they were making their places pretty nice, and all the while saying, well, it's not time to work on what God has given me to do. I'm going to make my house kind of nice. Here's what had happened. These folks, they prioritized their own interest over God's will for their life. They did. They prioritized what was important to them and for their well-being over what God's will for their life was. They did work for themselves as opposed to the work that God had given them to do. Let me just remind you of a phrase that you have probably heard before. I have heard a lot of people say this. Most recently, I remember hearing Jerry Falwell Sr. saying this. But he said, there's only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. Those are your only two choices. These folks, God had given them a task to do. God had given them work to do. And they had prioritized serving themselves. Let's keep watching.
Verse 5, now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's
a fancy way of saying, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing.
Verse 6, you have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. God says, he says, think about what's happening. Think about what you're doing. Now listen, think about it. God had sent them back to the promised land. This is the land where God was going to bless his people. This is the land where God was going to provide for them and where there would be joy in the Lord's blessings. But yet here they are in the land of God's promise, but they were experiencing none of the blessing. They were experiencing none of the joy. They sowed, but they didn't get a good harvest. They didn't have enough to eat. They didn't have enough to drink. They didn't have enough clothes. Their wages seemed to just be falling out of holes in their pockets. This is the land of promise. But they were not experiencing any of the blessings. God says, you guys have prioritized your own interest over my will for your life. And because of that, you are not experiencing the joy and the blessing and the fruitfulness that I've promised to you. You're missing out on the blessings. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, again, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. I love verse 8. I hear in verse 8 the tone of a dad. You guys, y'all know this tone. Every single one of us knows this tone. It goes like this. Let me put it in some different language. It goes like this. At least in my house, it goes like this. Did your mama tell you to put your toys away? Yes, sir. Well, pick up your toys, take them to your room, put them in your toy box. Now, right? That's how it goes. That's the tone of a dad. Let me lay this out for you. Pick up your toys, go to your room, put them in the toy box. Right now. Yes, sir. Here's the Lord. These people have prioritized their own interest. They have procrastinated on what the Lord has done. And now the Lord comes to them and he says, go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple. It does not get any clearer than that. God's will for these people is crystal clear. Go get some wood. Start working on the temple. Now. Stop prioritizing your own interest and get to work at what I have given you to do. Now, verse 8 is a really important verse for us. I want you to notice what verse 8 says. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. The specific activity that God had given them to do was to rebuild his temple. But the priority was to please the Lord and to bring him glory. God had given those folks a very specific instruction and a very specific activity that he says, this is how you please me and this is how you bring me glory. And it was to build a physical building, a physical temple in Jerusalem. Now listen, we are not given the specific instruction to build a temple in Jerusalem. We're not Jews. We're not building a specific temple in a specific city in Jerusalem. That's not the instruction that we have been given. But our priority is still to do what God says. This pleases me, and this is what brings glory to me. That still is the priority of all of his people. We want to say, okay, God, my priority in all of my life, my priority is to do what pleases you and to do what will bring you glory. Let me just tell you,
In every single one of our lives, the Lord has different plans for each one of us. The Lord has put each one of us in different family situations, in different work environments. The Lord has given us different connections. And there are specific plans. The things that the Lord has called my family to, He may not call your family to. God may not send all of us to a crime-ridden neighborhood in Indianapolis, but He might send some of us. But He doesn't send all of us. And so there are things that God has given you to do that are specific to you and your life. And God says, hey, I'm calling you to this, and you need to get to work on this. But while there's no way for me to mention all the different things that God has called each of us to do, there are some very specific things that our God has given to every single one of us, isn't it? There are some very specific things that our God has given to all of His people. And He has said, here is the work that I give you to do. Here is how you build me a temple. We are not building a temple made with human hands in terms of a building in Jerusalem. But God makes very clear that we have work to do building His temple in terms of His presence here. Do you know God in Ephesians chapter 3, God says, let Christ dwell in your hearts. Do you know we are to be building Him a temple in my heart? That I need to prioritize Christ likeness, seeking the Lord in my own heart. I want the Lord to be at home in my heart. And so there is work to be done there. I've got a lot of work to be done there. And when I see characteristics in my own heart, I'm not even talking about actions. I'm talking about attitudes and thoughts that I know the Lord would not be pleased with that. And so I go to work building Him a temple in my heart. We are building Him a temple in our homes. You guys know that, right? Men, you're called to love your wives like Christ loved the church. You are to be, as the husband in the home, the physical manifestation of the presence of God in your home right there. Just like in the temple. That your home is meant to be the temple of the Lord. And it ought to reflect His glory. That is how we are called to please Him and bring Him glory. And so, men, your relationship with your wife ought to reflect Christ. Parents, your relationship with your children and the way that we are training them and raising them, you know what you are doing? You are building Him a temple. And we are to train our children in the way they should go. We are to raise them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You know what? We're called to do that. That is the work we are called to do. Can I tell you one more? Where else are we building Him a temple? Right here. Ephesians chapter 4, God is building brick by brick. God is putting the pieces together according to what every joint supplies. Building in here in the church, a dwelling place of His dwelling place here on earth. That this right here, the church, this is where He dwells on earth. Where is the world going to see the glory of God manifested in this earth? It's right here. It's in this church. Do you guys know? Do you guys know that the church is not just another good civic organization? The church is not the Ruritan Club. The youth group is not just another little league. Club and Sunday school is not just another Boy Scouts. Church is God's dwelling place. God has ordained the church and none of those other things. It is not just another civic organization. This is the body of Christ. My heart, my home, my church, the temple of God. God has given me work to do. So then I pursue Christ in my heart. I labor in my home to build God's dwelling place that would manifest His glory. I labor there, not just to produce a good environment, but to produce God's presence in my home. But what happens is we get too busy. And so, you know what? As long as I'm not dropping into sin, then I'm okay. Can I tell you something? These folks here in Haggai, you know what? They weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't worshiping idols. They weren't doing anything wrong. They had not fallen into rebellion. They had just allowed themselves to neglect the Lord. You don't have to drop into outright rebellion. All it takes is for us to simply neglect the priority of pleasing the Lord. And so I get busy, and in my heart, man, I'm just coasting. I'm not seeking the Lord. I'm just coasting. I'm doing what seems best to me. No, you're missing it. God has called you to pursue Him and to pursue Christ's likeness and to allow Him to instruct us and to teach us and to guide us and to shape our hearts. In my home, listen, I'm just trying to love my kids and give them a good upbringing. No, that's not enough. You're missing it. Jesus says, no, what you are doing is you are building within your home the dwelling place of Christ. And what you are doing with our children is we are bringing them up, not just a good upbringing. No, we're instilling into their lives, we're investing into our lives the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We are investing God's instruction and God's discipline into our children's lives. Here at our church, the Lord has given each one of us gifts and each one of us talents. And you know why He gave us those gifts and talents? He gave us these gifts and talents for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why He gave them to us. These folks, they had prioritized their own interests over the Lord's. And the Lord says, go up to the mountain, get wood, and build my temple. Because that is what pleases me, and that is what brings glory. And as we hear God calling His people then to prioritize the work that He had given them to do, we may not be building a temple in Jerusalem, but He is still, to this day, His people. God is calling us. Don't prioritize our own interests. Do what He has given us to do. Now, let's keep going. Verse 9, you look for much, but behold, it comes a little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. Listen, they were missing blessings. But you say, well, you know, Well, maybe you can love your wife, but you don't know my wife. Maybe it's hard for you to love your wife because you've prioritized other things. And maybe if you got your heart right and prioritized your heart and your home in a way that would please the Lord might go to work on your wife's heart. But you are missing the blessing
Because your priorities are wrong. It's not because you're falling into some kind of terrible sin, but you have neglected what God has given you to do. You are missing the blessings. Well, I mean, I try to tell my children, you know, I try to open God's Word with my children, but they just don't want to hear it, so I just quit. What? What do you mean you just quit? Well, they didn't want to hear it. That's okay. You're missing some blessings because your priorities are wrong. You get back to what God has given you to do and then watch what He might do. Because I guarantee you, you miss your priorities and you will miss some blessings. Watch what happens.
Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and people showed reverence for the Lord. Here's what happened. Haggai brought God's word and God's message and even God's correction. Haggai brought it, and those people, rather than saying, well, here's why we did all of it, rather than offering up all kinds of excuses and defenses for themselves, the people said,
whoa, wait a minute. You know what? He's right. We have missed it, guys. And in their heart, there was obedience. And there was a reverence for the Lord. You know what that means? You know what it means that they revered the Lord in this situation? It's the same idea, the same principle there as fearing the Lord. What that means is that they were teachable. That they were willing to receive the Lord's instruction. They recognized His authority and they received the Lord's instruction and obeyed Him. They were willing to say, oh, He's right. We have missed it. God's nailing us on this, and man, we got to get this right. They were teachable. Let me encourage you. That's where it has to start right there. If the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on your heart right now and you recognize, whoa, wait a minute, our priorities are way out of whack. We have been prioritizing our own interest over what God has called me to do. I've been prioritizing my time over the things that are the easiest and the most significant to me, but I need to start prioritizing and doing what God has called me to do. And you know what? Rather than offering excuses, let the Holy Spirit tenderize your heart and give you a teachable spirit and be willing to say, you know what, God's the authority in my life and I missed it and I need to get this right. Watch what happens when they did that.
Verse 13, and then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the high priest, spirit of all the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God.
You know what happens? You let yourself be teachable and respond to the Lord and recognize His authority and His instruction, and you obey Him in your heart, and the Lord will stir your spirit up. You know what? All of a sudden, you'll have a new enthusiasm and you'll have a new motivation and you'll have a new passion to do exactly what God has given you to do. And there will be excitement there and there will be thoughts and plans and ideas about how to do what God has given you to do, where before there was just a brick wall. Well, I mean, I don't know how to do that, so I just quit. But God comes back and He says, but wait a minute, I told you to do that. And you say, man, you're right, Lord. I need to. And as you humble ourselves and as we are teachable, the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts up and puts enthusiasm and excitement and ideas to do what? To do what God has given us to do. My heart, Christ's home. My home, Christ's dwelling place.
this church, the building blocks, the gifts, the talents that He has given me to build His presence, to display His glory. Man, this is our work. This is the work He's given us to do, to prioritize. But it is so easy to just say, well, I've got all these other things to do. I don't have a whole lot of time. You do have time. The issue is priorities. Father, God, I thank You for bringing this instruction. And God, I pray that the hearts that are Yours would be teachable. God, I pray that we would prioritize what You have given us to do and prioritize pleasing You and bringing You glory in the way that You have said You want it. Oh, Father, I pray that You would help us to respond in a way that we need to. In Jesus' name, amen. And just